Today we are going to begin the sugya of Bari Minei Mizonos, where I actually asked you to start. The Gemara was about three lines too late. You know, whenever you have a gufa, it's going back on something that it had said previously. So maybe let's take a look together at the Gemara beginning a little bit earlier on Lamed Vav Amud Beis, about three lines earlier. The Gemara talks about Chavitz Kedera, the second to last medium-sized line. Chavitz Kedera. What is Chavitz Kedera? One of the challenges of learning this part of Maseches Brachos is that the Gemara talks about Talmudic foods, and we don't have those foods anymore. They're not in any of Suzy Fishbein's cookbooks. You know, we don't typically eat these foods, so we have to try to sort of figure out what they are. So Rashi says, Chavitz Kedera, min ma'achal kafoy kemo, what is that? Cholav shechavtu bekeva kachos and machol kafui bekedera, some type of stew type of consistency. Ul kaman mefarish la kimcha viduvsha umashcha. That's the key. It consists of three ingredients: kimcha, flour; duvsha,
honey;
mashcha, oil. Good. So this extremely healthy sounding food, flour, honey, and oil that a person eats, chavitz kedera, v'chein daisa, or daisa. What is daisa? Says Rashi, shel chitim ketushos b'machtashas, crushed wheat, a porridge, an oatmeal, well, that would be oats, I guess, or like farina type of food with crushed wheat. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, shakol nia b'dvaro. Rabbi Yehuda says it's shakol. Rav Kana Amar, Bore Minei Mizonos. Rav Kana says, no, it's not, it's Mizonos. So says Mar, B'daisa Grei Dukali Amal Pligi Dvar Minei Mizonos. When it's regular daisa, then everyone agrees it's Mizonos. Ki Pligi B'daisa Ke'ein Chavitz Kedera. Only when it's daisa that is similar to Chavitz Kedera. What does that mean? Says Rashi, L'kaman Mefarish L'chiti Dimitbri Ba'ashisa V'yavabu Duvsha V'avadluhu B'kedera. That they put honey in this crushed wheat and they cook it in a pot. Rav Yehuda Amar Shahakol, in that case, Rav Yehuda says, even though there's grain, there's wheat in this food, and here, this is critical, he says, you say Shahakol, why? Duvsha Iker. Yeah, there may be grain in there, but the primary ingredient is the honey. So he essentially tells us that it's possible that you can have a food that has grain in it where grain is not the primary ingredient. The primary ingredient is something else. And therefore, what determines the bracha? The primary ingredient determines the bracha. Ooh, so what's the counter opinion going to be? Rav Kahana Amar Bore Minei Mizonos Savar Smida Iker. He holds that the flour is the ikar. So it's a machlok simitzius l'chore, right? Meaning, they both seem to agree that you would say a bracha on the ikar. They're just arguing what the ikar is. Meaning, neither of them say, at this point, neither of them are saying that, oh no, there's flour in there, there's grain in there, so forget everything else, there's no ikar and tafel, throw ikar and tafel out the window. Grain is what determines everything. Neither of them are saying that. They're just arguing what happens to be the ikar. Is the honey the ikar, or is the flour the ikar? Meaning, you could argue, there are people that argue today about sushi. Is the fish the ikur? Because you wouldn't sit down to eat a bowl of rice, but the fish is what makes the sushi special. Or is the rice the ikur? Because you wouldn't eat raw fish on its own. And you could argue about what's the ikur and what's the tafel. And maybe that's the whole machlokas. What's the ikur? What's the tafel? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef Kavasi Rav Kana Mestavrei. Says, I think Rav Kana is right that you should say, why? Because Rav and Shmuel say that whenever there's grain in there, you're supposed to say Borei Minei Mizonos. That sounds like a different svara. Meaning, yeah, Rav and Shmuel say whenever there's grain, you say Borei Minei Mizonos. Why, whenever there's grain, do you say Borei Minei Mizonos? He doesn't. Not because grain is the ikker. Grain may not be the ikar, but whenever there's grain there, you say Bari Minei Mizonos. That there's a rule, there's some sort of rule that you always say Bari Minei Mizonos whenever there's grain. As if that somehow, the presence of grain should somehow override everything else. Why should the presence of grain override everything else? So maybe in order to understand why the presence of grain should override everything else and should ignore the rules of ikar and tafel, you know, should take precedence over any normal rules of ikar and tafel, maybe it's going to be important to understand two different things. First, it's important to understand why there is a bracha of borei minim hazonos. Can you, Zach, can you if we get the remote and have this point up, you know, instead of this
so
one? Yeah. Right, you know which buttons to push? I'll do it if you want. I don't really know either, but I'll guess. I think I'm gonna, there we go. Okay, thank you very much. So what was it? Yeah, so I think it's important to understand two things. First of all, why is there even a bracha of borei minim hazonos? Everything we make mazonos on grew from the ground, so it should all be hadama. Why do we need a borei minim hazonos? Second of all, the second thing we need to understand is a little bit of the mechanics of Iker and Tafel. How exactly does Iker and Tafel work? Meaning, if I'm eating two foods, or there are two ingredients in this food, why is it that I only have to say one bracha? What happened to my bracha on the tafel? Why don't I have to say a bracha on the lesser of the two foods? So let's start with the first issue first. What is the reason for the bracha of borei minim hazonos to begin with? Why is there a bracha of borei minim hazonos? So this is something that the Tur deals with, and he quotes two deos. The Tur in Siman Reish Ches. Tur writes, Chameshas Mine Dagan, Shein, Chitim, Usaorin, Vekusim, Shvol, Shvol, Veshifon, the five grains, you know how to translate all of them? Wheat, we're pretty sure we know that one, right? Wheat, barley, spelt, rye, oats is a controversial one, right? Oats is the controversial one. That's the one that in recent years, Professor Felix did a lot of research and is pretty convinced that oats is not one of the five grains. Its characteristics are completely different than the other four, and he thinks from a ton of research that oats is not one of the five grains, and that's a question of how to deal with that in terms of halacha, in terms of saying borei minim hazonos, for example, on Cheerios. It's an oat cereal. So if oats is not really a grain, then you would not say borei minim hazonos on Cheerios. So Rav Schechter, for example, believes strongly that oats are not a grain, and therefore he does not recite a borei minim hazonos on Cheerios to the extent that he eats Cheerios. I don't know if he eats Cheerios or not, but the majority of poskim assume not that way. The majority of poskim assume oats are a grain, and that's our mesora. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach holds that way certainly, and Rav Salvage held that way as well. That they are a grain. That's our mesora, and that's what we're allowed to follow. It's the same, not the same, but it's a similar discussion about horseradish for the mitzvah of Marah. Professor Felix is also convinced that horseradish is not one of the five vegetables that the Mishnah Maseches Pesachim lists that you're allowed to use for Marah. Every single vegetable on the list that you're allowed to use for Marah is a green leafy vegetable. Horseradish is a white root. So it doesn't even make sense that it would be on the list. But you know, many say, but that's the Masona. Regardless of whether historically it's true, whether you know, it could be there are no green leafy vegetables growing in Russia, in whatever, you know, when it's 2 degrees outside, and they only had horseradish. But that's the Masona. That's what they use. But certainly, everyone agrees it's not the best thing to use for Mar. Someone told me that Rabbi Danny Rapp from YU suggested that maybe we're just eating the wrong part of it. He said, you know, the horseradish has like these stalks or leaves that come out of the root that stick out. And the other taina against horseradish, by the way, this is way off topic, but the other taina against horseradish is that horseradish, Rav Shechter always points out, horseradish isn't bitter. It's sharp. It's a different thing. Charifus is different than bitterness. You know what bitter is? If you ever let like cabbage get old, or lettuce get old, you ever have like lettuce that's turning black? And, or like cucumbers, right? That's bitter, right? But if you go to Dougie's and you have poppers, that's not bitter. That's charif, right? That's sharp. It's a different taste. Horseradish is sharp. It's not bitter. The other vegetables are all bitter. They're all leaves, so they're all bitter. So Daniel Rapp suggested, he said, you ever taste the leaves that grow out of the horseradish? He said, those are disgustingly bitter. They are like beyond bitter. He said, the answer is both kashas. We're just eating the wrong part of it, he suggested. We should be eating the other part, if you're brave enough. Yeah.
If we have the rule of self-breakfast, why don't we make the shackle
You have to hold it to safed. I mean, it's machlokas. So like, some people paskin. So
Lavi Greenspan told me on Shabbos that Shachtin does not eat cheerios at all.
For that reason, doesn't
he's
need it.
So about it. Okay. He doesn't know. So
yeah.
You
can always wash before you eat your bowl of Cheerios. That would that can work. I'm reminded of a story. There's a guy I know, Rabbi Reuben Mendelwitz, who is a phenomenal sofer in Eretz Yisrael. He wrote the sefer Inside Stam. We referred to it a lot last year when we were learning. What did we learn last year? Tefillin, right? So he said that he went with Rav Weiner from Muncie to visit. I think it was Rav Nissim Karelitz that they went to visit to ask him what the bracha on sushi should be, and you know, Rav Nissim doesn't eat much sushi, so he couldn't really. They showed him pictures and everything, and he couldn't really connect to it. Like he didn't really like understand. He's like, wait, people eat this. I don't really get it. How's it made? Like he just wasn't getting it. He wasn't getting the whole sushi phenomenon. So as they were leaving, the Rebbetzin was seeing them out. They said, you know what? Maybe we'll ask you. And so they asked the Rebbetzin what bracha. So she said, you should wash. You should wash and make amotzi, and then you won't have any solving brachas. Okay, that's the answer to everything. But you know, like at some point, you gotta paskin halacha. Okay, but anyway, so
work.
The what?
If you wash, so you eat something else, then it doesn't work.
Nah, you eat some bread and it works. So the tour suggests two reasons why it's right. This is how I got sidetracked. The Torah suggests two reasons why there exists a bracha of barim minim zonos. He says the chameshus mine dagan shehein gam kein chashuvin shenishtabcha behen eretz yisrael. What makes them chashuv? Because eretz yisrael is praised with the chameshus mine dagan. Is that true? Chita, sorry, yeah. What about Shibol Shul and Kis?
Included.
It's all included. All the others are subcategories of wheat and barley. Of everything else, all the other grains are subcategories of them. And therefore, even though there are seven minim that Nishtaruch ben Eretz Yisrael, and only two of them are grains, really those two are five. And therefore, there are really ten things that Eretz Yisrael is praised with, because all Chameshus Minei Dagan are included. So anything that Eretz Yisrael is praised with, that's what raises the level of the grain, which begs the question, why isn't there a special bracha on the other fruits, right? Why is it that Zeis Shemen is Ha'etz, and there's no special bracha on it? So okay, that's one. Second, says the Torah, Va'od Yeshla Maila Ki Aleihem Yichya Ha'adam. This is what sustains life. If you were to make bread out of these five grains, you would recite hamotzi on that bread. You make bread out of something. It's not what you make quinoa bread or rice bread or something like that. It's not one of the five grains. There is no bracha of hamotzi, and it's al lechem yichya ha'adam. It's on bread that a person lives. So therefore, even though you didn't make bread out of it, you only made a tavshil out of it. You made a maisa kedera, a daisa, something like that. You mixed in honey. You mixed in other things. Still, mevarich aleihen borei mine mizonos. You say borei mine mizonos and an ala michya. The Bach just points out that these two reasons should not be understood as two independent reasons. They should be understood together as a single reason. Again, first reason that the Torah suggested is that it's so chashuv, these five grains, because Eretz Yisrael is praised with them. And second reason, that five grains are what sustain a person, because the five grains are what we make bread, and bread is what we live on. Al alechem yichya ha'adam. Ha'adam, says the Bach, afal gav, divshivas minimim shenashtarach ben Eretz Yisrael, shenemer Eretz chitus or of gefen. There are seven minim that Eretz Yisrael is praised with. There's a distinction between some and others. It's so interesting. He says, the Chamesh Saminim that are Gefen and Shemen Zayis and all, meaning the five other than the two grains, he's saying, the five other than the grains, Shavinein Bebracha Rishon Lashar Peres Ilan, that you say Bari Priya Eitz on them. And they're different than eating an apple in the bracha achrona you say on them. The bracha achrona you say on them is bracha achsmein shalosh. Unlike when you eat an apple where it's a bari nefashos. The Bashar Peres Mivarech Baruch Nefesh Shabbos V'Chamesh Minin Mivarech Baruch Achas Min Shalosh. Aval B'Shnei HaMinin Shein Chitu Sa'ora. But when it comes to wheat, when it comes to barley and the other grains, meaning, and he points out, not include sheep on the Klusman B'Shevel Shuel, because they're Choshev and V'Gam Aleihem Yichya Adam, Shinu Chacham Mesperchasam L'Mal Yusa. The Chacham changed their bracha and elevated their bracha. They don't get a bracha rishona like other peres haaretz, and because if you were to make bread out of it, it would be hamotzi. That's what elevates the bracha rishona, and the fact that Eretz Yisrael is praised with it is what elevates the bracha achrona. Meaning, we ask, why does there exist a bari minei mezonos? It's more than that. Why does there exist such a thing as a bari minei mezonos? Certainly, it'll be bari adam because it grows from the ground. And why does there exist an alamichia? What's wrong with bari nefashos? What do I need alamichia for? So essentially, what the Torah is telling us is that the fact that something that Eretz Yisrael that is praised by a certain type of food is what elevates the bracha achrona. So all shivas haminim get an elevated bracha achrona. The fact that it's aleihem yichya adam, that's what elevates the bracha rishona. So that's why your pomegranates are going to have the same bracha as any other fruit, bracha rishona, because no one lives on pomegranates. But bracha achrona, which relates to nishtapcha ben eretz Yisrael, and it makes sense. It makes sense that the bracha achrona is going to relate to Eretz Yisrael. Why does that make sense, that the bracha achrona should relate to the fact that it's neshtapcha ben Eretz Yisrael? We actually talk about it in the bracha achrona. No bracha rishona talks about Eretz Yisrael, right? No bracha rishona. The bracha rishona is short, it's to the point, it's just specific about the type of food. So when the food by its nature sustains me, I'm going to have a higher level bracha rishona, because that's the nature of the food, and that's what bracha rishona is all about. But when the food is something that is a reflection of the great shevach of Eretz Yisrael, so good, then I'm going to want a bracha achrona, because the bracha achrona mentions the great shevach of Eretz Yisrael. So the Torah is not giving two disparate reasons that each, or two independent reasons that each stand on their own. No, he's giving two reasons that work in concert with each other, that work together. One second, and that might be why Rav and Shmuel hold, and Rav Sacks points this out, that anything that has chamesh taminim gets a bari minei mezonos. Kol sheyesh bo mechamesh taminim varchon al bari minei mezonos. From lashon kol sheyesh bo, it sounds like any type of cooked food that has anything of chamesh taminim mixed in, it patters the rest of the tarovis. Meaning all the oil and all the honey and everything else that's in the dish is patterned with my bari minei mezonos, even though the grain is only a small part of it. But a tarovis that were to have other peros of the shivas haminim, if we were to have a lot of pomegranates together with honey and whatever else, then the halacha would be you'd follow the rov, you'd follow the ikar. You wouldn't say a bracha on the pomegranates. We wouldn't follow the pri that's from the shivas haminim. And the reason is because even though all shivas haminim are special in that nishtabach ben eretz Yisrael, yeah, that matters to me as far as bracha achron is concerned. So the chameshes minei dagon are more chashuv because they have they're not only nishtabach ben eretz Yisrael, it's aleihem yichya adam. So any tafshil that has it mixed in is a bari minei mezonos, even though it's a miut of the tarovis. I mean, the way Rav Sacks I'm saying is a little bit different. Not that it's so compartmentalized of bracha rishona bracha achrona, but it's that there's tarti lemal yusa in the five grains. There's only one maila of the other of pomegranates and oil and all the rest, the olives and whatever. There's only one maila, and that is Neshavach Ben Eretz Yisrael. But there are two mailas in grains. There's Neshavach Ben Eretz Yisrael, and it's Aleihem Yichya Adam. And it's the fact that you have both of those mailas that will tell you that they can never become secondary in a mixture. If they're put in with something else, they are never secondary. And if they're never secondary, the bracha, they demand a bracha.
Is the idea that since it could sustain, even if this mixture is not sustaining,
yes,
it
still gets mezonos? That's what the Bach says.
Or is it that this mixture is sustaining you and therefore it gets mezonos?
I mean, not the Bach. The Torah, I think the Torah says that even though you're not making it in a way that sustains a person, because you're not making a bread out of it. It's al lechem yechei adam, but by its nature, it would be something that you know.
So this is like an inherent change when we made that fakir yesterday, whether like automatically it changes the rough or only when it makes the difference. It's inherent, automatically it's going to change.
Yeah.
Is this the same svara by wine? Sa'id, therefore we change the bracha rishona, so here we change the bracha rishona?
Sa'id is different than yichya ha'adam.
In terms of, sa'id is just...
I mean, yichya ha'adam means it's a basic staple that a person can't live without.
And
you know, it's interesting. Bari Nefashos Rabbos V'Chasunam tells us, points out, just stam, good to know what you're saying when you say it. Tells us, points out in Tabalam Zayin Amal Aleph, when he talks about the bracha of Bari Nefashos, he points out, when we say Hashem created Nefashos Rabbos V'Chasronam, Hashem created Nefashos Rabbos and that which they lack. What does that mean? Tells us, says, Kamo Lechem Umayim, Shiev Shabalohim. We're saying that Hashem created us to have a need for bread and water. We cannot live without bread and water. V'al kol ma shebara lachios b'am nefesh kol chai. That's a reference to everything delicious that we like to eat that we don't really need. Kolomar al kol ma shebiolam shegamim lo barim yicholin olam lachios b'lohim. That's everything else that we could have lived without. Shalom barim kiim latanuk b'alma. But Hashem likes to give us enjoyment. And he likes to give us pleasure. And how does he do that? Kimo tapuchim. He makes apples and oranges and all sorts of delicious foods. Uchayotze ben. So all of our candy and everything else, that's the emphasis is not nefash rabos v'chesronim. It's a kol mash rabos v'chesronim. Yeah.
What's what Zach said? What about Twizzlers?
Right. So you have to say that. You have to say. Right. So you have to say that. You're going to measure the chashivas of something not only by its role in this food, but by its inherent value as well, right? So there's some sort of difficult calculus, you know, there's balance that has to work out. That when you have something that has no special inherent value, so then you just measure by its role in the food. Is it the ikar? Is it the tafa? When you're dealing with something that has some special inherent value, so then we measure by some combination of the inherent value and the role in the food. So if it's playing some real role in this food and it has superior inherent value, we're going to make a mezonos on it.
Right, so
but if it has no role in the food, it's just ledevik, it's just, you know, it has no role in terms of the taste it gives to the food, in terms of the nourishment you're getting, it's really just holding it together. See, even though it's inherently special, that's not enough to overpower the fact that it's a zero on the other scale. So we have to measure both sides simultaneously. That's why I would
like
think.
Brownies, for example, which is like mostly cocoa powder, not like flour. That would be more.
Yeah, but if you just had the cocoa powder, it would just be goo.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. So that.
No, but it wouldn't even be. I don't think it's only with Devik Vyama, right? That has to be. I don't know.
No,
yeah.
Is the Bob, the whole John the Bob, like the small Bob?
Good. So we'll get there. Good. Yeah.
How is Eretz Yisrael praised by the grain?
The pasuk says that it's an Eretz Chitas.
Yeah. How is that praising?
We're saying what's great about Eretz Yisrael? It has wheat, it has barley, it has geffen, it has all these things. Just parenthetically to point out, I did mention the idea of when you say a bracha and an ikar, and maybe we should have a separate share about this, but just to mention the chakira at least. When you say a bracha and an ikar, that there's no bracha and the tafel. So what is that? Does that mean that the bracha and the ikar counts for the tafel? Or that the tafel does not require a bracha? You understand the difference? Meaning, is it that when I say a bracha on the ikar, so that bracha counts for everything, for all the ingredients of this food, including the tafel? Or is it that tafel pasha doesn't require a bracha? Almost like a dechuya hutra, yeah. The Tosas in brachos, a few davim from now, quotes a Yerushalmi, that if you made a bracha on a certain type of food, and then it fell out of your hand, and you take another one, you need to make another bracha. Because you made, if you make one birchas hanenin and you eat a lot of different items based on that birchas hanenin, the bracha is only chal on the first prusa that you ate, everything else is mutter below bracha. Meaning, let's take out ikar tafel. You sit down to a bowl of jelly beans. You say shakol niyeh b'dvaro. You eat a jelly bean. Then you eat another and another and another, without saying a shakol niyeh b'dvaro. Why don't you say a shakol niyeh b'dvaro on the second, third, fourth, fifth? Is it that same chakira? Is it that the bracha I said on the first jelly bean covers all the jelly beans, or the bracha I said on the first jelly bean is the first jelly bean is the only one that requires a bracha? Every jelly bean after that doesn't require. You only need to say a bracha on the first. So Rav Shechter in Eretz Tzvi quotes from Rav Soloveitchik. This is in Eretz Tzvi Simon Dalet. If you want to look it up, in Oz Zayin. He quotes from Rav Soloveitchik that by Ikar V'Tafel, when we say that a bracha on the ikar patters the tafel, does not mean that that bracha is chal on the tafel. It means that the tafel does not require a bracha whatsoever. And he says, he explains based on that, the machlokas that we're going to have later on, daf mem aleph, was machlokas shabitin rabbanan. When you have two items that are birchosei and shavos, you have two items that are both bara priya eitz, a pomegranate and an apple. Which one do you eat first? The pomegranate, right? Why does it matter? They're both eitz anyway. I'm saying the same bracha. So if they're ein birchosei and shavos, okay, I understand. But birchosei, they have the same bracha. So if you say that the bar priyetz is going to cover both of them anyway, why would it matter? I'm saying bar priyetz and it's covering both of them. So I'm saying bar priyetz and the pomegranate. Rav Soloveitchik suggested that no, you're not. If you eat the apple first, your bracha is only going on the apple. It's not going on the pomegranate. Meaning you're robbing the pomegranate of the opportunity of having a bracha set on it. And the bracha should be set on the item that is more chashuv. So you should say a bracha on that which is more chashuv, because the first thing that you eat is going to be the only thing that the bracha is actually chal on. And Soloveitchik thought the same is true by Ikar Tafel. Rav Shechter points out, Yesh Ladun Bidvarav. There's, you got to look carefully at the Rishonim and see if this is really true. But this is what Soloveitchik thought, that when you say a bracha on the Ikar, it's not that that bracha covers the Tafel, it's that there is no bracha on the Tafel. The Tafel just doesn't get a bracha. Ooh, so given that, if that's true, so you're dealing with Chameshus Mini Dagan mixed into a Tarovis, and there's this inherent Chashivus of the Chameshus Mini Dagan. It's one thing if you say that normally we'll make a bracha on the Iker and that bracha is going to cover the Tafel as well. Okay, the Chameshus Mini are also getting a bracha. Maybe not the best bracha, they're getting a Shahakal for the honey or whatever. But if you're going to say that, the way Iker V'Tafel works, the bracha I'm making on the Iker is only on the Iker and the Tafel simply does not require a bracha, well, then I'm robbing the Chameshus Mini of a bracha. They're not getting a bracha at all. And maybe that gives a little more svara, a little more time to this idea of kol sheyesh bo mechamesh saminim. Anything that has chamesh saminim, you say the bari minei mezonos, because that's the only way the chamesh saminim are going to get a bracha at all. If you would say a bracha on the real ikar, then you're not going to, then the chamesh saminim are not going to get a bracha at all. Because again, as we said, it sounds from the Gemara that even though in the first line the Gemara Rav Kahana says you say bari minei mezonos on this chavish kedera or whatever, that's because he holds that the wheat is the ikar, but it sounds from Rav and Shmuel, it has nothing to do with the wheat being the ikar. It's not the ikar, it's the tafel. It's such a chash of a tafel, you want to make sure that it gets a bracha. You want to make sure that you recite a bracha on it. So let's see a little bit further in the Gemara. Yeah.
I was just confused by the chakira by Rav Soloveitchik. If you're saying by an apple or pomegranate, you have to make a bracha on the pomegranate first. I'm not sure.
Saying, why does it matter which one you say a bracha on first? And if you have two items that are the same bracha, so I'm going to say bari priya eitz anyway. So isn't that bari priya eitz going on both items? So what difference does it make which one? They're both getting the bracha. They're both getting the bari priya eitz. So they said no, they're not. Only the first thing you eat is getting the bari priya eitz. The second thing you eat is not getting the bari priya eitz. And therefore, it matters which one you eat first, because that's the only one that's actually getting a bracha. Yeah.
Water also sustains life.
That's a good question. Okay. We have to discuss why does water not get a special bracha? Because of its blandness or whatever. Yeah, good question. Let's see the Gemara a little bit further. Says the Gemara, Gufa. Rav Shmuel Dami Tavai, Kol Sheyesh Bo Mechamesh Saminim Varchal Barim Rimzon. How do you translate? Kol Sheyesh Bo. if there's an ingredient, right? If chamesh aminim is an ingredient in the food, it's bar min hamizonos. V'itmar nami rabbi shmuel bar mitzvah kol shehu me chamesh aminim varchan la bar min hamizonos. How do you translate that?
It is.
If you're eating the grain, meaning it's all made of the five of the, it's entirely made of the five grains, it's bar min hamizonos. So the Gemara right away notices the problem. Obviously, if grain is even just an ingredient, you're going to say bar min hamizonos. And obviously, if grain is the whole thing, you're going to say bar min hamizonos. So tzricha. Diashmin kol shehu have a min shem di se be'ene, avali de tarov slo. If it would have said if grain is, so obviously I only would have known that if grain is the whole thing, you'd say hamizonos. I wouldn't know that if grain is just mixed in there, you'd say hamizonos. Kamashmal and kol sheyesh bo. That's the obvious one. The flip side is the less obvious one. V'yash minim kol shiyesh bo, hava minim kol shiyesh bo chamesh saminim in, aval orez v'dochen lo, mishum dal yidei tarovos. I would have said, anything that has chamesh saminim, you'd say mizonos, but not orez v'dochen, only because it's only an ingredient. Aval yisei beinei, but if orez v'dochen were not just an ingredient, but you were having a bowl of rice, you know, when you order Chinese food and they give you that box of rice that no one eats, if you sit down and eat that, when you have that box of rice, Nema afilu orez v'dochen nami varchan lo barim mizonos, I might have thought you say mizonos and rice, kamash malan, kol shum mechamesh saminim varchan lo barim mizonos, afuki orez v'dochen, tafilu yisi v'nei lo varchan lo barim mizonos. That's why I need to be told, kol shiyesh bo, kol shahu, to tell me that even if you're eating the grain intact, only grains are mizonos. Only chamesh saminim are mizonos. Rice is not mizonos. So then the Gemara goes on a whole, what? Rice is not mizonos? Are you sure? Maybe the Rabbanan hold that way. Really? The Rabbanan hold that way? Rice is not mizonos? Can it be? So then the Gemara, towards the end, finally comes to the conclusion that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds Orez is min dagan. We don't pass in that way either. But we pass like the Rabbanan that Orez is not a grain, rice is not a grain, but Tiyufta, Rav and Shmuel, Tiyufta. We reject Rav and Shmuel. Wait, whoa. We reject Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel are the ones that taught us that if you have grain in your food, it's a mizonos that you ignore Ikar V'Tafel. No, we accept that part of what they said. We reject which part of Rav and Shmuel? What they implied about rice. They never even said. They said that when you're eating pure grain, it's a mizonos, which implies that pure rice is not a mizonos. They're wrong about that. Pure rice is a mizonos. Tos suggests, yeah, maybe rice, but not dochen. Okay, but pure rice is a mizonos. That's where Rav Shmuel is wrong. But the kol sheyesh bo mechamesh saminim, where with rice as an ingredient, that Rav Shmuel agreed to as well. Now, we have to figure out a little bit what the halacha is when it comes to an ikar and tafel with the chamesh saminim, meaning. Tosos of here points out on the bottom of Lam Vavam Beis very clearly, and this is agreed by all poskim, Paskin Shulchan Aruch, that if the grain is only put in ledevek bialma, what does the Bach do over there? Vim ledevek, he takes up bialma. I don't know. Eino tzaruch levarich bari minei mizonos. Then you don't say bari minei mizonos. Rabbi Kiviger points out Lishna Kaitu, who madinaktu enu tsaruch levarich, half enu rashai levarich barim neimizonos. Says it's a funny lashon, enu tsaruch levarich barim neimizonos. It's like no, but I want to. I feel like saying the mizonos. So now it's okay. Now I'm allowed to because I feel like I want to volunteer. No, you can't. Meaning it's just the wrong bracha if it's put in the devik bialma. And that seems to be agreed upon by everybody. So apparently there is a way that you can have a food that has grain in it, where the grain is so insignificant that it's not even, that the food is not going to be a mizonos. So as we said yesterday, that leaves us with the question of what bracha to make on a breaded chicken cutlet, or what's commonly known as schnitzel, right? What bracha does one recite on it? Or if you have the pretzel chicken, or any chicken that has breading around it, or has some sort of mizonos around it, so what bracha do you say? Do you say that, well, it's kol sheyesh bo mechamesh saminim, it's got chamesh saminim in the ingredients, and therefore it's mizonos, which l'chora, pashup shot in the Gemara, it sounds like that. Or do you say, no, that look, when something's only devet bi'alma, you ignore it, you ignore the fact that there is that there's flour in there. So you see that there are times that chamesh saminim are so insignificant that you're right. It doesn't have to be a majority for it to be a mezonos. It doesn't have to be the ikur, but it has to be like, you know, it has to be, it doesn't have to be critical to the food, but it has to be somewhat important to the food. It has to play some significant role in the food. And maybe just a breading is not enough. Now, it should be pointed out that many, you have to look carefully at, when you hear all the postmen that say that you're supposed to say a shahakal or a schnitzel, there are schnitzel, meaning there are ways to make it. Why is it that they thought of putting the idea of putting breading around schnitzel in the first place? Like, why did they come up with that? Why not just put the chicken in the pan and fry it?
So it won't burn.
Yeah, so the chicken would burn in the pan if you just fried it straight. Having the breading sort of protected it to make it not burn. If that's the entire role of the breading, just to prevent it from burning, that's very similar to Devek Bialma. You know, it's just to keep the substance, you know, the way you want it, as opposed to contributing any taste, contributing any flavor, or contributing any nourishment. You weren't interested in the nourishment nor the taste of the breadcrumbs. You just didn't want anything to burn. But if you're going to have like these fancy flavored breadcrumbs, you know, you buy, I'm sent to the supermarket by my wife all the time because I work in Queens now, and a guy in my shul owns a supermarket in Queens, so I like to shop there. I get a nice discount too. So I'm sent to the supermarket all the time. If I come home with the wrong breadcrumbs, it ruins everything. It ruins everything, the wrong breadcrumbs. Because the breadcrumbs have a certain type. American breadcrumbs, Italian breadcrumbs, I don't even know. Like, what do they do different in Italy than we do here in terms of breadcrumbs? But apparently they do something very different. It changes the whole breadcrumb. So if it's going to change the whole nature of your breaded chicken, so then maybe it should be different. But let's take a look at what the poskim have to say. It should be pointed out, before we even, you know, the right way to go about this is look at the Rishonim and then carry it through to the Shulchan Aruch and the Achronim. If we jump ahead, if we skip a few steps, somewhere in the Maamar Kama, I don't have it in front of me, in the Mishnah Berurah, Reishit Beis, Sifkat Aleph, Mishnah Berurah writes pretty clearly, Kol Shenitan B'Tavshil L'Tam Azlinan Basrayu, anything that's put into the Tavshil for flavor at all, we follow that grain, umavarch melein borim nemezonos. And you would say borim nemezonos. Meaning, if you were to ask the chef why there's breadcrumbs, do the breadcrumbs add to the flavor? Is the breadcrumb helping at all? And the chef would say, yes, the breadcrumbs are to add to the taste, to add to the flavor. That's borim nemezonos. Mishnah Berurah passes that way. L'chora, according to the Mishnah Berurah, it would be clear that schnitzel should be a borim nemezonos. Even if it's a very thin layer of breadcrumbs, but it's adding to the taste somewhat. It's not just to prevent it from burning. But let's go back a little bit. Let's see what the Rishonim have to say.
It's one of the part of five minim and has some significance, and then overrides even though it's really tafel.
Exactly. Right? By normal definitions of ikur v'tafel, there's no doubt that chicken is the ikur. But with grains, you don't do the normal definition of ikur v'tafel.
Even if,
it has to be the time. It has to be the time.
See, but even like on the Davik part, like if you compare it, it could give some sort of flavor. It sounds like you wish for any type of flavor, meaning with no intent, it's only intended to be for steak, right? So
yeah, like, apparently. Right, if it gives a flavor, right, that's it. That's enough. That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like to me. What?
That's different.
No, because Tosa says the Davik Bialma, that it's only for. Yeah, it's not helping the flavor at all. That's what I would think. The lashon of the tour, the lashon of the tour in Siman Reish Ches, va'afilu lo asa mehen pas el tavshil, right? We read the tour before. Even if you didn't use these five grains to make bread, you instead made a tavshil, kigon, ma'ase kedera, v'daisa, va'afilu irei vem dvash v'shar minim v'rachon lem v'barim nemezonos. Why domer kol sheyesh bo mechamesh saminim? Again, sounds like the how does he say? You made a tavshil out of them, vafilu irev behem dvash b'sharmin. Do you understand that the chamesh minim are the ikar or the tafel over there? You made a tavshil out of, you didn't make bread out of the chamesh minim, you made a tavshil out of the chamesh minim, and you mixed into that tavshil lots of oil, lots of honey. the Torah seems to be describing where the tavshil is really made out of chamesh saminim, meaning that the chamesh saminim are sort of like the ikar. That's when it's a bari minim zonos. Okay, normal ikar v'tafel, we're going to measure and we're going to say, but if there's more honey, that's going to overwhelm it. Over here, we're not. Over here, we're not going to say that the more honey is going to overwhelm it, because the tafshil is made out of the chamesh saminim. But what if it's not really made from the chamesh saminim? No one says, oh, I'm making breadcrumbs tonight. I'm going to put chicken inside of it. I'm stuffing our breadcrumbs with chicken tonight. No one says that. It's not a tafshil that's made out of the breadcrumbs. So from the Torah, you get sort of like the opposite impression than you get from the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah doesn't talk about a tavshil. He talks about any time you put chamesh saminim for any sort of flavoring, that's it, it's a mezonos. The Torah says, I don't care what the percentage is of the amount of breading versus the amount of chicken versus the amount of honey, but if it's a tavshil made from chamesh saminim, then no matter how much honey you put in, the tavshil's made from chamesh saminim, that's what makes it a mezonos. So the tour, which clearly follows the Shita of the Rush, if you look in the Rush, would seem to suggest that when you have schnitzel, the ikar is clearly not the grain. You didn't make a tavshil out of the grain. It would seem clearly that it's a shahakel, and not a mezonos. If you look in the Me'iri writes, I think it's in Yomar Makomos, Im Iri bo dvarim acherim. You have your grain and you mix into your grain other things, honey, oil, tavlin, spices, even though you mixed in lots of other things and plenty of it, let's say that again. What is this food? This food is grain. Oh, but it's got so much honey. It's got so much other stuff. Afal pi sherubo midvarim acherin. Even though it's majority honey, umachnas bo kemach harbe lematik asatam olavos atavshil. I'm sorry. Holchemachros amin. You follow that min, and then the Miri says, aval im ikar atavshil midvarim acherin. But if the ikar atavshil is made from other things, umachnas bo kemach harbe. Even if you put in a lot of flour, lematekes hatam means what? Make it taste good. Olevos hatavshil, or to thicken the tavshil, says Miri, ena kemach ikar. The flour is not the ikar. You're going to say a shahakol. Whoa! So the Meiri's kol sheyesh bo mechamesh saminim is a very, very limited definition. Kol sheyesh bo mechamesh saminim means if it's a food that you would define by the chamesh saminim, then you could throw in a lot of other stuff and it's still going to be a mezonos. But if this is a food that you would not define by the chamesh saminim, I don't care if you put chamesh saminim in there for flavor, I don't care if you put chamesh saminim in there and a lot of it, you don't define it by the chamesh saminim, then it's not a mezonos. So according to the Miri, it seems like it's obvious that schnitzel would be a shakel. The Lashon of the Ritva in Hilchos Brachos sounds that way as well. Kol shume ikra tavshil. That it's got to be part of the ikra of the tavshil. In the Sefer Vezos HaBracha, in the back, he has a whole essay on schnitzel, and he quotes from an Or Sameach in the third parak of Hilchos Brachos. And he says as follows, the Or Sameach reads as follows.
Who is Vezos HaBracha?
Vezos HaBracha is a guy who lives in Har Nof. Rabbi? Mandelbaum.
Nice.
Alexander Aryeh ben Rav Simcha Mandelbaum. Mechaber Sefer Vayisa Ach Sameach V'Samachta B'Chagecha Laila Zeh and B'Laila Ahu. I think Vezos HaBracha's most famous work. Of those five. Anyway, I remember I was walking in Har Nof with Rav Silver once, and he said, oh, that's where the Vezos HaBracha lives. And he's pointing out, like, where all the Mechaber Sfarim live. That's where this one lives, that's where that one lives. So, he quotes an Or Sameach. The Or Sameach says as follows. Su Aval betavshil dilu avim marbin bekimcha loa yatov liachla. Vitama sulta hayonifgan. Then lo chashav amiyot. Meaning, Rabbi Samech says, how do you tell if the grain is something worthy of making a mezonos on? What if you added more of it? Meaning, you know, there's a food calls for a certain amount of ingredients, right? A certain ratio of this to that. If you added more grain, would it ruin it or would it make it better? So he said, if it would ruin it, if adding more grain would ruin it, then you don't say bar minim is anasim. That would tell you that it's not nearly ikar enough. If adding more grain would make it better, even though the grain is the minority ingredient, but adding more grain would make it better, then you would say a mezonos. That's what the Oseh Me'ach seems to assume. Why? So he suggests, because grain by definition, meaning if adding more of that ingredient would ruin it, he understands that it's a siman muvhak that grain is not meikar atavshil. Because if it was meikar atavshil, more of it would make it better. But if adding more of it would make it better, then that shows that the grain is meikar atavshil. Yeah. Yeah, so I found this very hard also. Meaning, when you add too much of anything, it's no good. So I think what he means is if you were to make it more than a minority, meaning if you were to make it like 50% of the ingredients, that it wouldn't destroy the whole thing. But it's hard. It's hard to know. Like, there are certain foods where it can go either way. It can still be edible, it can still be, and some people might prefer it that way, some people might prefer it this way. Some people like a more watery challen, some people like a thicker challen, some people like, you know, a single stuff. No one really likes a single stuff Oreo, but they can't find the other kinds, and some people like the double stuff, and some people like the triple stuff, you know, like there's did I offend anyone? Sorry. People are going to be like, So essentially what we have so far is from the tour, from the Ritva, from the Meiri, it seems pretty clear that schnitzel will be a shahakel. Right? Because no one would define schnitzel as breading that has chicken stuffed in the middle of it. It's chicken that has breading around it. However, the Rashba writes, Pirush, derubo dvash umi uto solas, v'inami ikaron machmas duvsho v'sulto lahat imo lachshiro. Well, says the Rashba, what is this thing that's called sheyesh bo mechamesh saminim? It says either it's majority honey and a minority grain, without describing to us what the function of the grain is. V'inami, or ikaron machmas duvsho. It's really primarily honey. V'solto lahat imo ulahachshiro. And the flour just gives it a little extra flavor. It just makes it a little bit better. Umikalmakum kibin de sultum uruvbo lahachshiro mvarkhala alasolas. Since there is flour there to make it better, you make a bracha on the solas. So according to the Rashba's second pshat, we don't know what the first pshat's about, but according to the Rashba's second pshat, it seems that schnitzel should be a bar minyan mezonos. It's a question, though, and this the Vizosa Bracha points out. He says, you know, it sounds that the Mishnah Berurah is machriya like the Rashba, against the Torah, against the Rashi, against the Meiri, against the Ritva. Right? And he decided to be machriya like the Rashba. Why? What made him be machriya like the Rashba? So he says that maybe it was a mistake. Why? Because the Rashba quotes these two opinions. The first opinion is that the solas has to be the ikr in order to make a barim nim zonos, and it could be an ikr even if it's a minority. The second pshat is that no, that even if the solas is only there, lahat imo would be a barim nim zonos. Inami. Says with Zosa Bracha, the Mishnah Berurah might have had an old girsa of the Rashba, where instead of inami it said imkain, where there were no two deos in the Rashba. That was Im Kain, it was a continuation. And the Rashba was essentially only giving that second pshat, and Mishnah Berurah therefore, in deference to the Rashba, passed like the Rashba. But if even the Rashba himself wasn't so sure about this, then maybe the Mishnah Berurah would have, if the Mishnah Berurah had the accurate text in the Rashba that we are zocha to now, then maybe he would have passed him like the first day. I'm not into this game. I don't know. I don't like this, going back in history, and if he would have seen this text and that text. The truth is, there are Gedolei Yisrael that are very into this game. In his Haskama to his son's edition of the Tshuvas of the Rambam, the Peridot of the Rambam, where Avadi Yosef writes that it's very critical to see the Tshuvas of the Rambam, because we know Maran Beit Yosef was very loyal to the Shitas of Rambam, and he didn't have a lot of these Tshuvas, so if we're able to uncover things in the Tshuvas of Rambam that go against what Maran Beit Yosef says, because Maran Beit Yosef didn't know that the Rambam said otherwise, we would go against Maran Beit Yosef. And for Avadi Yosef to say to go against Maran Beit Yosef, that's something. His whole life was about following Maran Beit Yosef. But he says we have to go back and see what if they would have changed their minds. I'm just not into that whole idea, because I don't think we could ever know the full number of factors that went into the decision making process, would it in fact have changed their minds. Alright, we're really just scratching the surface a little bit. Bez Hashem, we'll do one more shiur on this. We have to talk about potato kugel with flour in it. We have to talk about rice and what the proper bracha is on rice, and why the proper bracha is what it is, and why not all posts can say what we think they should say about rice. So Bez Hashem, we'll get to that on Monday.
That's a chicken. So first of all, there's the separator here of whether it's a shop. Pretzel chicken just adds another, for sure, mizomis.
Yeah, I think pretzel chicken is definitely a mizomis.
Right?
Yeah.